And we are, as a people, inherently and historically,
wake up,
opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings.
The show that asks questions about why we don't ask questions.
What the hell is going on?
This is Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. Welcome back to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. I'm Alan Park. These are Conspiracy Queries. Hey, the big topic on everybody's mind right now is Syria. That is the big topic on a lot of people's minds right now. What is happening over there? And so, of course, I'm going to use this moment in time to slip into... That's right. We just get some of that music coming up. This is the Meet the New Owners segment. This is about China and Canada. We'll get to Syria in a minute. The familiar tones of the Canadian anthem, as reinterpreted by Canadian-Chinese musician Bob Wiseman. Hey, did you know that Canada's got a secret treaty happening with China? And that it's going to set us up for some big problems. I'm pulling this from Vice.com. Great article in there. The treaty is Canada's largest trade deal since NAFTA and was already signed, but not ratified, in secret last September. It was done without being tabled in the House of Commons and without the consultation of the provinces. Now, this all is before what's going on with the oil and the sale of our oil to China. They have a lot of control, does China now. And this is pretty amazing that given the grounds it says on which this bill can be opposed, the secrecy in which it was signed, the questionable constitutionality, the negative effects it will have on Canadians who deal with Chinese investors, and given the effects it may have on Canadian democracy for the next 31 years, which, by the way, is how long Stephen Harper wants to hang on to his little perch. It's a little surprising that this showdown between Hoppuscath and the Canadian government is our last hope to keep this FIPA, F-I-P-A, from happening. That's the kind of agreement it is. This is a crazy situation. Philip Morris sued Australia under an investment treaty for introducing anti-smoking legislation, and in 2007, a group of Italian firms sued South Africa for black empowerment legislation enacted post-apartheid, and a Chinese investor sued Belgium for $2.28 billion in losses incurred when the country nationalized Fortis, which is a Belgian-Dutch bank, during the recession. Basically, what's happening is Canada is signing a deal, has signed a deal, where China's going to get to kick us to the curb. I really want to know what's going on with why that happens and why they seem to get away with it. Canadian lawmakers are threatened by legal action from foreign investors and cannot fight those legal claims except through secret arbitration by a foreign power. Then don't give it to them in the first place. And they will probably avoid enacting any laws that might compromise the profits of the foreign investors. So we can't have our own laws in our own country for our own interest if it's going to get in the way of what some Chinese investors are trying to do. Another reason we should not have sold them an unbelievable amount of oil. All right, we have to move on to Syria. Let's turn the music off. Hey, could be a war coming, huh? Is that what's happening? And it's all based on what John Kerry says. This guy's not credible. You kidding me? He couldn't even beat George Bush. When George Bush had a transmitter strapped to his back during the debate to tell him what to say, because he's too much of a moron to figure it out for himself. John Kerry says that the Syrian rebels, we've got intelligence that says the Syrian rebels and the... Yeah. All right. The Syrian rebels are al-Qaeda, everybody. Remember what happened the last time we got involved with the Mujahideen, helping them out against Russia, and then they metastasized into this disastrous force, which apparently has caused us such great hardship by taking down the trade towers, which I don't particularly believe. But the official story is that that's who did it. They're the ones that were helping out, and now they're doing the same thing again in Syria. They're helping al-Qaeda. Well, John Kerry, I have some questions for you. Just like in the fallout from 9/11, where's the proof? Don't just tell me on ABC News that you have the proof. We need to see the proof. Unfortunately, a lot less people are buying this particular line of U.S. administration bull. I was going to say something, but the bleeper's not working today. Here are some queries. How do we know who launched the chemical attack in Syria? And why is this the trigger for war? Where did the chemical weapons come from? Why do we need to invade Syria and kill Syrians to punish Syrians that killed Syrians in a way we don't like, as opposed to, say, depleted uranium bombs, which we pounded the snot out of Fallujah with and are now giving birth to radioactive freak babies and killing off people with an incredibly high cancer rate while the military denies that those radioactive munitions have anything to do with that? How is that any kind of different at all? How is that different from white phosphorus coming out of Israel and going into Lebanon a few years ago? Those are chemical weapons. Why did Kerry say that it took Assad too long, al-Assad, to let the inspectors in to Syria when they were there the day after he said they were welcome, which was the day after he was asked? You know, Bush used that same line in Iraq. And how is the U.S. administration so high and mighty now regarding chemical weapons after supplying the very same things to Saddam Hussein in the 80s, knowing full well he was going to use them? These are some questions I'd like to get the answer to before you invade and get into a war that's never going to end again. It's amazing to me that they just keep doing this over and over again, and nobody calls them on it. Nobody stops them from doing it. Now, before we get too worked up about this, here's a quick little article that you might not have caught. Back in May of this year, and this is before the chemical attacks took place, if indeed they did take place, that's another topic for another show. But on May 30th, the Reuters mainstream news agency had this article: Turkey arrests 12 in raids on terrorist organization. Turkish authorities have arrested 12 people on suspicion of being members of a terrorist organization in raids across the country. The police raids were carried out in Turkey's largest city, Istanbul, as well as in the southern provinces and some near the Syrian border. And unknown chemical materials were found during the raids and sent away for investigation. Media reports were denied that a small amount of the nerve gas sarin had been uncovered. Six of those later were released, while another six were being kept for further questioning. Don't know what's happened to those guys since. He did not say which organization had been targeted in the raids. And earlier, several Turkish newspapers had reported that 12 people from Syria's al-Qaeda-linked al-Nusra Front, who allegedly had been planning an attack inside Turkey, were in possession of 2 kilograms. That's 4.5 pounds, for those people that don't know what a kilogram is, of sarin. Yeah, back in May. That's when that happened. And now we're being told, oh yeah, sure, the guy that is in our way that we want to knock over is the one, and we don't have any proof for that, so let's just go in there anyway. Here's another flash from the past. Back in June of this year, this is the big story from Dale Gavlak, who is a reporter. Back in June 9th, Patriot missiles were deployed for the first time at an annual multinational military exercise in Jordan, a key U.S. ally. The 12-day Eager Lion exercises have brought together 8,000 personnel from 19 mainly Arab and European countries to bolster defense capabilities in the face of a possible flare-up from neighboring Syria once we decide how to fake the fact that Assad was the one that did the chemical attacks. Folks, if you don't get it by now that there's not a lot of credibility with those that wield power, I don't know what to do for you. But we need proof before the war happens. Let's move on to the interview portion of the show. Joining me now is my guest. He is Ken Adachi. If you spend any time on the internet, you should spend a lot of time on Ken's site. That's educateyourself.org, educate-yourself.org. Great stuff there. The sub-billing is The Freedom of Knowledge, The Power of Thought. I came across this website many years ago. It hasn't changed much in its style or look, but it is, you know, it's everything you want. You can just dive right in to a lot of incredibly arcane and esoteric topics, right on up to what's going on in the daily news. If you want to know about the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, who influenced American politics and journalism to a great degree, you want to go to this website. Hey, maybe you need a holistic dentist and find out what they're all about, or adrenal burnout, or perhaps the ozone layer, or maybe you're into bioelectrification, or maybe you'd like to have another look at Noam Chomsky, who is often touted as a friend of the left, but oftentimes will skip aside and get out of the way. Yeah, there's stuff on here about global warming and insights on aliens, of course, cell phone towers and the dangers of cell phones and the towers. There are too many things. I could do a show every week just with Ken as a guest, but that's not happening when there's no time to cover all that. So we're going to limit our conversation today to a couple of very relevant things. Syria, what's going on over there and what can be done about it. And we're also going to get into some health remedies that I will bet most of you have not heard of before, and they're pretty much something you can do your own self, and a lot of that is explained on the website. So I bring now to the program the curator, the founder, I don't know, he's like a three-ring circus master with all of these topics on his website. Here he is, Ken Adachi. Ken, how are you today?
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for coming on the show. It's a thrill for me because I've been reading stuff that you've been posting for years, and as I've stated to the listeners, and they'll understand if they've looked at your website, you're not going to cover all that in one day. So let's talk about what you know right now and what your take is and the information that you've gathered. What's going on in your mind with it seems as though regarding Syria, we are perched on the edge of a cliff and ready to go yet to another war. What are your thoughts on that? What's going on there?
Well, it's part of the game plan is Syria, the attack on Syria and Iran have been pre-planned for a long time, and the public needs to know this. News is what we see in the news is a charade. It's staged information that's presented to us in a way that we're supposed to accepted as being a natural unfoldment of history. That's not what's happening at all. We have an international cabal, collectively known as the Illuminati, that pretty much controls every major industrial country in the world. The head of that country is a chosen person who's part of this cabal. It's mostly headed, if you will, by what Henry Mankoff refers to as Kabbalistic Jewish bankers, and there's many articles on the internet that talk about the so-called New World Order, the Illuminati, who makes them up, but they're sort of use the U.S. military particularly as a tool of policy change, we'll say. And part of that policy change is for the subjugation of the entire Middle East to come under the control of Israel. So the reason we attack Iraq and Afghanistan and now dropping drone missiles in Pakistan and poised to attack Syria, et cetera, is because U.S. government is essentially following policy that was originally designed in England at the end of the 19th century by a group called the British Round Table. The British Round Table, the Royal Royal Institute, essentially set the plans. Cecil Rhodes and other, elitist family of the British Isles, in addition to the British Crown, of course, set the stage for the events that unfolded in the 20th and 21st century. I'm talking about World War I and II, et cetera. What played a significant role here was the plan to first create the idea of a homeland for what we were told were Jewish people in the Middle East. And if you recall, in 1917, the British Lord Balfour came out with a document called the Balfour Doctrine. Mind you, this is just at the closing year of World War One, in which it says, this idea that the Jewish people should have their homeland returned to them. So what they did is took until the end of World War II, 1947-48, the British, who controlled that part of the Middle East before, in the wake of World War One, you remember the Ottoman Empire controlled the area that was later called Palestine. Well, they were defeated in World War One, and the British took it over, and they controlled it right up to the Nazi era, and then they retook control after the Second World War, and essentially they set up this idea of the UN, which the same group tried to create what's called the League of Nations following the First World War. Enough people in our Congress were aware of the dangers of that and rejected it. So it did succeed, let's say, to be created after World War II, and it's called the United Nations, of course. And land was essentially stolen, taken away from the rightful owners, the Palestinian who occupied that area of Palestine. They called it Israel, and that's what began the process, which we are now seeing coming towards, what they hope will be a conclusion. Essentially, Israel is to have hegemony over the entire area of the Middle East. This plan was set in motion in the end of the 19th century. So we are functioning as the U.S. government, I should say, U.S. military, is functioning to a scripted plan, agenda.
Let me just ask you this, Ken, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but if this is true, why is it that America... What is the structure that holds America to the fire? Because as we know, America is a larger country. It is a more populous country. It has more money. In fact, it gives Israel money and other countries as well and other causes money to sustain themselves and survive. So how does the smaller country, the less seemingly powerful country that needs the military backing of the United States, that needs the monetary infusion of the United States to survive, how are they getting to call the shots? What is the structure there?
Well, it's the nature of the Zionists who are this Kabbalistic part of the of Israel. The Zionists have done a terrific job of infiltrating into American society and particularly American government people who are functioning as their agents. I call them fifth columnists, which is what they are, but our Congress and very often the executive is loaded with these individuals. They're typically dual citizens, American, Israeli citizens, and they act as agents for the interest of Zionist Israel. I mean, that's how they do it. They see to it that the funding happens, and they put people into positions of influence and power in our government, in the school system, for instance, in our social structure, the ADL, for instance, B'nai B'rith, essentially act as propaganda and coercion operations that influence policy. And people who play ball with the Zionist agenda are rewarded, and those who resist it are very much targeted and gone after, particularly with money, particularly if you're in a political position. People, American, patriotic Americans, Cynthia McKinney, for instance, who rail or who realize the influence of the Zionist lobby in Congress, are put out of office. They simply put enough money behind an opponent candidate to push people who object out. That's exactly what happened to Cynthia McKinney and others who aren't playing ball, who aren't Dennis Kucinich. They're just people who otherwise should have remained in Congress because they were popular with the electorate and certainly doing things that was beneficial to the American public are pushed out.
Well, it seems that the hobby farmer or the someone from Dubuque, Iowa, or Pensacola, Florida, I don't know how they are managing to convince those people. I mean, a lot of those areas are, Republican areas, and they want to, America first type of thing, and it doesn't seem to be the case. Now, I think some of the influence that you're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, comes from AIPAC, what's known as the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and I see that they are breaking precedent to support a war resolution on Syria right now.
Well, sir, for supporting a war resolution, which, of course, if you are an average American and you're paying attention, Americans certainly don't want another war to be launched in the Middle East. They're extremely wary of it. I've read polls that said as much as 91% of the public. Now, I've seen other polls that the media is controlled by Zionist interests. That's been the case since the beginning of the 20th century. The major newspapers were, let's say, bought out and came under Zionist control around 1915. So your newspaper and even the entertainment industry, Hollywood, the sources of information that poor people normally get through radio, TV, newspapers, internet, well, the internet, thank God, is a independent source.
So far.
In fact, that's the only place you can get it.
Yeah.
And the only reason people like me can put up information that is read is, thankfully, because of the internet. But no, the major newspapers have been controlled by a long time. So, your New York Times and all that, it's L.A. Times, you name it, whatever major Boston Globe, it's going to support the, let's call it the party line that the pro-Israeli groups would have us believe about the nature of who or what the Israeli government is. The Palestinians are all Arab people, are particularly since 9/11, are portrayed as radical Islamic jihadists, yada yada yada. They have their buzzwords that are repeated by every AM radio talk show host from one side of the country to the other ad nauseum.
Well, I tend to agree with you that that's true, but why do you think right now that the public resistance is so high to go into Syria? Like, it just seems like the same old magic trick.
They realize, enough people realize that you know, the whole pretense of invading Iraq and Afghanistan was a fraud. I mean, people like me and anyone who's in the alternative news world were saying that immediately. I mean, I was condemning 9/11 as a staged event the day after it happened.
Yeah.
I got a lot of emails at the time. What a nut I am, and, you know, I'm disloyal to the country. It's so obvious. 110-story steel-frame buildings don't collapse because a plane flies into them. I mean, this is elementary physics. And
yeah, I got a lot
so
of that same email.
Controlled
I got a lot of that same email myself, but it sure looks like it's the other way now.
Yeah. So, anyway, The country is fed up with the BS stories, weapons of mass destruction. I mean, we knew, you know, the alternative world was saying that Bush and company, Colin Powell at the UN, we were saying this is untrue. They're simply making this stuff up to justify attacking Afghanistan and Iraq. And, of course, that's exactly what you remember. The guy Hans Blitzer was the UN inspector in Iraq. He said there are no weapons, yada yada yada. I mean, this was known, this was known. Even the first attack was by Bush Senior, the first attack in Iraq in 91.
And John Kerry has said the same thing. He said that Syria is no longer credible because they took too long to answer the request for inspectors. But as I understand it, they were asked on Saturday. They said yes on Sunday, and the inspectors were there on Monday. What kind of timeline is that? You know, what, is that a problem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't even fix my cable that fast.
You know, that's publicly explained by a front man like Kerry or Obama himself. If you simply do a little bit of basic reading and research on the internet, their statements are simply filled with fabrications and distortions and lies.
Yeah,
they wanted to set up the scenario that first the West, I'm talking about the UK, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the US, Turkey, inserted and created the individuals that you're calling the Syrian rebels. Sure, there's locals, typically a criminal network, if you recall when Clinton was causing so much, creating so much death and havoc and destruction in Kosovo, in former Yugoslavia when he was president. If you remember the so-called Kosovo War, the Serbian War, it was created by this same cabal. That was a perfectly peaceful country. They fund the CIA trains, the Mossad, the British intelligence, they train the so-called opposition force. It's usually criminals from a criminal network that's locally indigenous, a drug network, et cetera, because the CIA is heavily involved in drug sales and distribution.
And flying it back into the States in bodies
so
and bags.
So they create this, we're told by Clinton, are the freedom fighters. And the same here. See, all these guys who created this opposition, Syria, you know, because they have this Shiite-Sunni conflict going on in that country for a long time, has, you know, Bashar is a rough dude. You know, he's kind of a heavy-handed, iron-fisted dude. But they were dealing with their own, you know, domestic situations, much as Iran is and has been. And this rebellion was inserted, just like the so-called rebellion was inserted into Libya, to take Gaddafi out, take him out of power. So they insert these guys, they call them freedom fighters, yada, 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 over the newspapers, and they bomb the hell out of them, you know, illegally. Obama had no more right to call in, bombing and missile and the drone strikes in Libya than he does in Syria. The man is completely outside of the authority that the Constitution affords to him, and he's simply, you know, breaking one constitutional precedent after another, and up to at least as pullback around August 30 or so, August 31, it looked like he was just going to steam right ahead and attack Syria, because I think there's reasons for it. Internationally, Putin had threatened to attack Saudi Arabia if the U.S. attacked Syria. That was a serious and real threat. China would have joined in, along with Iran, to defend Syria. And that, coupled with the senators and House representatives who were saying, we're going to have to impeach you, Mr. Obama, if you continue on this track. And that, plus so many ordinary citizens, the protests in front of the White House, et cetera, there's protests. You don't see it. You don't hear it in the news, but there's protests locally here in Santa Ana and San Diego. And they, I listen to NPR, and they downplay it as 100 to 200 people. Typically, it's 5 to 10 to 20 times the number of people that is reported on, let's say, mainstream
media.
But there's there's a lot of protest at the end of August against attacking Syria that did not get any serious coverage at all.
I'm speaking with Ken Adachi from the website educateyourself.org. Ken is a media researcher and has compiled a lot of fantastic information, and we're talking about what is going on in Syria right now, or what is about to happen. Ken, are we poised? Are we going in? Are they going to find their way out? Is the public will high enough now to maybe spend a little more money instead of war on putting out the fires, literally, in Yellowstone? Why don't they have money to do that? But somehow there's another folly bomb-dropping mission about to take place overseas.
Well, just for a moment on the fire, past 7 or 8 years, I think it began, I got my memory correct, I think in the October of 2006, so-called wildfires have been occurring, particularly here in California, sometime in Arizona, in which the suspicious nature of the fires make people like me think that there's intentional arson going on there, particularly if you probably don't keep close track of California news, but in the fall of 2006, there was a large number of fires, maybe 500 fires that sprung up in the space of a day or so over a single weekend in October over an area of, let's say, the entire southern half of California, which, you know, California is a very big state. Both lengthwise and in its width. And over an area of easily 500 miles, there was hundreds and hundreds of fires that simply, we were told, spontaneously arose because of lightning strikes and other nonsense. Of course, they were actually torch jobs.
Wow.
It serves the purpose of sometimes called the inner government, to do things like that. For one, is people who are in the business of fighting fires get a lot of work. They got a lot of equipment. They got a lot of funding. That's a small part of it. But it's fires, particularly in remote areas where people are living, is desirable from the New World Order's point of view. They want to push people out of rural areas. This is the reason for the so-called biodiversity programs in the United States to kind of take over national parks and push people out. They want to herd them towards the city. So they have these fires in these somewhat outskirts areas where houses have been built, et cetera. Make it uncomfortable to keep on rebuilding there. So I'm quite convinced a number of fires in the past 7-8 years are intentionally created. They certainly have the technology to do this. It can be done from afar. They have what's called fireball technology. They have their HAARP equipment. They could... And I think in many cases that there's simply individuals who are sent out in groups to to start fires. That's certainly what happened in the fall of 2006 here.
Well, they don't seem to be assembling any kind of ability to put those fires out. So the fact that they started them on purpose, if that is true, that that's not really so hard to believe. I mean, if they put some of the money that they're spending on this ridiculous mission to Syria and to perhaps trip us all into a World War III scenario house of cards, then I don't understand why they can't put some of that into the American infrastructure and certainly parts of it that are burning down.
A lot of areas are made dry through intentional drought creation. We've been subjected to weather manipulation for a long time now, but in the last decade or 15 years, it's been just unbelievable for the last decade. They can and do create hurricanes, tornadoes when they want to. Hurricane Katrina in 2005 was jacked up and artificially steered right into New Orleans. Anyone who spends any time on the internet could see the signature on the infrared radar maps. They were artificially jacking up and artificially steering that hurricane right into New Orleans because they wanted to run that kind of quasi-martial law thing with Blackwater and all that. So they needed the practice, so they created it. If you're in Hurricane Andrew in Florida, I'm trying to remember when, 96, 97,
yeah.
Artificially created, and it was horrendous.
Well, listen, before we get going, we're going to have to get going soon. I did want to bring up one more thing. This is talking with you in person is great. It's like being on your website. You can actually surf the web by just staying on Ken's site. There are so many topics there. I did want to move into a little bit of personal empowerment. I know there's not much we can really seem to do at Syria right now other than contacting elected representatives and absolutely refusing to go along with it. And hopefully that will be something. And I know that can
make a difference.
That
I don't
can
know
make a
whether
difference.
They will, Congress will support or not. We'll have to wait to see. But yeah, people need to scream. I just heard it this morning on I think Amy Goodman's show. Kerry was trying to make the case, and there was a woman screaming in the background saying no Syrian war. That's very powerful. People who get up into the face, particularly of politicians, Kerry or McCain or any of the war hawks, get in their face in any sort of public venue, that's very powerful. It gets picked up, and it shows up on the news.
All right, now let's move on to the topic of self-health. If that's even a topic, self-health,
yes.
Taking care of yourself. You drew my attention when I spoke with you earlier to something known as MMS, and I did not know what you were talking about. I've had a look into it since then as far as how it might be created and what it might actually do, but I feel a lot more confident having you speak about it. If you could spare a few more minutes of your time discussing MMS, what it is and what it can do.
Okay, I have articles on my current news page under the heading of Of Special Interest. And there's two or three or four articles there on MMS. One is called The Basic Science of MMS. The acronym stands for Master Mineral Solution. It is a simple thing. It is a combination of two things, something called sodium chloride, which is in solution normally, and citric acid, 50% citric acid. They're mixed together in equal portions in a glass container, so many drops of each, let's say three or four drops of each, allowed to mix together for 30 seconds. You add 2 or 3 or 4 ounces of water to it and drink it down. That's the way most people take it. It's an oxidizer. When it gets in the body, it releases a gas called chlorine dioxide, which can react with any sort of pathogen in the body. It pulls electrons out of the pathogen, whether it's a bacteria, virus, a parasite, a an organism, and we all have parasites, by the way. Most people don't know it, but most people in North America have at least 14 common parasites in them all of their life. Parasites can cause problems, particularly as we get older. And when our immunity goes down, the parasite population increases, and we get what we're calling this disease or that disease. Huldah Clark, who was a fabulous researcher who produced 7 remarkable books in her lifetime, explains the critical role of parasites in all disease conditions. Anyway, if you eliminate the parasites or knock them down or reduce their population, there are bacteria and viruses, molds, fungi, etc., that accompany these species of parasites in our body. Anyway, when you knock the parasites down, you also knock down these different accompanying bacteria and virus organisms. When you do that, it takes pressure off organ systems that are being affected by those particular bugs. So, for instance, if you take steps to kill certain parasites that like to find a home in your pancreas, for instance, there's something called the pancreatic fluke, but there's other types of parasites that like to stay there. And with the help of certain solvents and metals that we shouldn't have in our body, but we get due to the diet, it makes it easy for these bugs to set up house. Well, anyway, they have a damaging effect gradually on the pancreas, and then pancreas can't produce insulin the way it used to. And so then the person is diagnosed with diabetes, okay? But if you were, as Huldah Clark proves in her book, kill the organisms that are infecting the pancreas, what happens is the pancreas recovers. The person starts producing insulin in a normal way again, and voila, diabetes goes away. So that's why people need to look into MMS. It's an oxidizing agent. It kills bugs. There's long articles on my website that they need to read to fully acquaint themselves why it works and how it works. But in a simple explanation, MMS releases chlorine dioxide gas in the body. This simple molecule, one chlorine molecule, two oxygen molecules combined together, does a marvelous thing. It is reactive with pathogens only. It doesn't react with normal cellular tissue in the body. It doesn't have the voltage potential to do that. The human cell voltage potential is around 1.15, 1.25 volts, whereby this chlorine dioxide is has a potential of 0.95 volts. Now, when you read the articles about MMS, you'll understand why I'm talking about the voltage. However, it cannot react with normal cellular tissue in humans or animals.
So the parasites and the problem organisms are resonating or activated by a lower frequency healthy cells.
Pathogenic organisms, all of them, have usually a negative polarization, means they have a lot of extra electrons in their outer orbit of their atomic structure. Chlorine dioxide sucks 5 of those electrons right out of that organism. The organism cannot continue to live. So so that's what an oxidizing agent does. It pulls electrons out of pathogenic organisms, and the organism falls apart. It can't continue to live. But it only, in the case of MMS, it only does this to pathogenic organisms. That's why I have so many articles there trying to urge people to look into this. It's easy to obtain. It's cheap as can be. Anybody can make it themselves at home. And if you start using it, you're going to start seeing that it has this marvelous ability to knock down bugs, and with it, people recover from disease conditions, including serious diseases, including autism. A lady in Mexico named Carrie Rivera, I have the video, and I have the article and video on my website, has so far cured 96 kids of autism, full-blown autism. You can't cure autism in the mainstream medical world. It doesn't happen. You just manage it.
And again, what are the components of this MMS? Just one more time.
Two simple things. A very simple molecule. It's called sodium chloride. It's a very simple molecule.
Sodium chloride.
Chloride. It starts out as dry, flaky flakes. You dissolve it in distilled water, a certain amount. You have to know the ratio of distilled water to add to a certain weight of the chloride flakes. And then citric acid, you can get it at any health food store. Just go there and buy a bottle of citric acid. It's a powder. You mix it 50-50 with distilled water. Let's say you mix 1 ounce of citric acid powder with 1 ounce of water. Now you have a 50%, 1 ounce distilled water, I should say. Now you have a 50% solution of citric acid. Well, if you add equal drops of the sodium chloride solution, let's say 3 or 4 or 5 or 10, whatever you're deciding on, equal drops of each into a glass. Let them mix together these drops, equal, let's say 5 drops from the sodium chloride bottle, 5 drops from the citric acid bottle. Let them mix in the glass for at least 30 seconds. Add a few ounces of water and drink it down. And you've just taken MMS, and it will go to town. Now, you have to be cautious. When you begin MMS, I'm just using 5 drops as an example. You start out very cautiously. Typically, we start with 1 drop. You need to work your way up slowly and carefully when taking MMS, because we don't want you to get sick. We don't want you to get nauseous from a die-off reaction, or called Herxheimer's reaction. When you kill a lot of pathogens quickly in the body, you have a lot of dead animals in your body, and it makes you feel ill. It's called a Herxheimer's reaction or kill-off reaction.
Right.
We don't want to do that.
People experience that with...
Slowly and gradually.
People experience that with cleansing flushes and that kind of high-juicing thing as well, where all the crap that you're getting rid of is now bothering your mind.
You want to, let's say, take the cleaner at a rate that your body can handle. So you excrete this gradually without getting headaches, without getting nauseous. And, you do this slowly, low and slow. Low refers to low dosage. Slow means take a little at a time over the day. Don't take it all down at one gulp. You take a little throughout the day. Low and slow. That's the way to take MMS. Anyway, the article's on my website. There's great detail there. Videos embedded. You'll wind up links to Jim Humble's website. Tons of testimonials of what this is curing. The nation needs to, the whole world needs to know about this because it works so well, yet anyone can get their hands on this stuff, particularly over the internet. And the MMS is so amazing. It's going to put the pharmaceutical people out of business. So I expect that they will launch some sort of attempt to limit its ability to get it or outlaw it. Who knows?
Should be cranking up some lawsuits pretty soon, I would imagine, if that's the case.
Well, there's no justification, but Bill concocts something, to.
Now you said that it's taken the knees out from under autism, diabetes, malaria as well.
Well, if you go to Jim Humble's site, but if you just go to YouTube, do a search, MMS testimonials or MMS cures. I just saw one the other day, a few people, not just one. Video testimonies from people who had full-blown cancer. This guy, remember, he's an expatriate, lives in Thailand. He spent $40,000 when he first told he had cancer, and then, of course, it comes back. It usually does. A year or 2 years, they told him he was cured, came back a year or two later, and then now they told him, well, we'll give you another round of treatment. It's going to cost you $160,000 this year. He said, hell with this. He looked. He found out about MMS. Looked into it. Long story short, he cured himself completely. I think he's 2 or 3 years from his cure date, completely free. His testimony. There's dozens of video testimonies on YouTube of MMS cures. Of you name it, people have been cured by it. Malaria is a piece of cake. MMS can be cured. Can cure malaria in 4 hours. People find this hard, impossible to believe. 4 hours. Total cure of malaria. They just had a trial in Uganda in December of 2012. 154 people with full-blown malaria took MMS. Guess how many people got cured?
I'm going to say 100%.
154 people, 100% cure. The Red Cross thought they would sponsor this to prove that MS wouldn't work. It worked so well that the Red Cross totally tried to suppress the info. They thought they had the only copies of the video documenting this. Well, anyway, Jim Hummel's group waited for six months or so for the Red Cross to announce that they did it. They sat on it. They wanted to suppress it. He came out with the video himself. I think it was in July, perhaps. It's on my website. People need to listen to those videos.
And again, the heading on your
marvelous step forward.
The heading on your website, because there are so many. Which again heading is?
Okay, the page they want to go to is called Current News. When you get to my website, there's a lot of links at the top of every page.
Right.
Top row, upper left link. The very top row, the leftmost link in the top row says Current News.
Uh-huh.
I put all new information on that page. Once you're on Current News, that will. That all new information is posted to Current News.
Just scroll down from there, and there it will be.
Yeah, scroll down from there. They'll see a heading. Start at the top. And once they're on Current News, once they get on that page, start from the top, slowly scroll down. They'll come to a subheading that says, in red letters, of special interest.
All right.
Immediately under there, there's four or five or six articles exclusively devoted to MMS.
Okay.
Start with the basic science of MMS. That will give them the overall story. And then read the other stuff. It's amazing.
And how long have you known about this?
I first found out about it in 2005. I got his book. He had an online book free. I got it. Someone sent it to me. And I told him, I read it. I told myself, this is amazing.
This is Jim Humble's
book? Jim Humble. I talked about it on and off for, you know, a few years, but I really picked up the ball again around 2011. I have a friend in Canada who writes a lot of marvelous articles on my website called Z.S. Livingstone. He was saying, you know, we really need to focus more about talking about MMS. And I says, so he was saying, you know, we just got to talk about it more.
Do you think Z.S., I mean, I'm speaking on his behalf, but do you think, or his or her behalf, do you think they would come on the show?
Well, we typically work together when we do shows, but we're very limited. We've done a lot of shows that I have tapes on my, podcast on my website. So typically we like to work with another man called Don Nikoloff and making presentations, but we can talk about doing a show together, he and I.
Okay, well, that sounds great. We'll have to have you back on to do that sometime. Listen, I tried to steer the conversation away from politics, and then you wound up talking about parasites and what to do about getting rid of them, which took it right back to politics anyway. I did the best I could. All right, so we're pretty much out of time. If you're if you've got anything else you want to add, and what can we expect in the days coming regarding Syria? Like, how locked in are we?
Okay, I don't know. I'm just guessing at this point. Okay, my feeling is that the political pressure from the public will be great enough that will cause the House to vote down a strike on Syria. There's so many sellouts in the Senate. I would expect the Senate to go along with a strike, but I'm hoping, expecting that the Zionist lobby is not so powerful in the House that. I expect the House to reject the Syria strike. It will slow things down. The plan is, if it happens, it's not going to end. The plan is to take over Syria and take over Iran. That plan will continue to go forward. It's up to the public to how well that agenda proceeds. The public is getting to a boiling point, it seems to me. What would make a huge difference if the House got serious and started really getting serious about impeaching Obama? That's going to throw a huge wrench into their game plan. It won't end it, because if Obama's impeached, Biden will carry out the agenda
regardless.
But
yeah.
he'll slow way down because they'll impeach Biden. I think he would know that. So what they would do, let's just fantasize for a moment. Let's say they turn down Syria. Obama does something stupid. He attacks anyway. Impeachment unfolds. Obama gets picked out. Biden picks it up for the last year or two of this. We'll just wait to 2016. They're going to try to run Hillary. She won't win, but we'll try to run her. We'll try to come up with somebody else. They just slow down. The New World Order has been slowed down. Things were intended to be much worse by the year 2000, for instance, in terms of a martial law takeover and all that. And now we're 13 years out from 2000. They still haven't destroyed this country yet. So,
well, I hope you're right about that. I'm reading that the top U.S. Republicans are backing the Syria strike idea at this point. So,
if that happens, the public is going to become riled to an extraordinary extent. So if they go ahead and do, I still have the feeling there's, I don't know. It'd be wonderful if it happens. We'll have to talk about it.
Yeah, I'll have you back on for sure.
You got to remember who owns the media. The media is owned by Zionists, and they will try to lead the public to believe that, we have to do this, yada, yada. Remember, look to alternative media to get a better idea on what the people are really thinking about. No, I don't say this is a slant. They do plan to do it, and a lot of cynics are saying, they're going to strike it. Yeah, the Congress will approve it, yada, yada. And that may happen. I'm not saying it won't happen. But I have the feeling that it's not going to work out the way there are changes afoot throughout the world, not just this country.
I sure hope so, because in the run-up to Iraq in 2002 and into 2003, I was so hoping that what you're saying now was going to be the case, that people weren't going to fall for that. But, of course, the 9/11 disaster was far too mesmerizing, and we just had to get back, as George Bush said, on the pile. They're going to hear us.
You have too many people, even in the military now. I saw a website. These guys are holding up signs, and military people in military uniform. They're in the Middle East. They're holding up signs in front of their face saying no war, no more wars, no war with Syria, yada, yada. There'll be internal rebellion. You'll see.
I hope so.
It will happen.
I hope so. When the frontline dogs are saying no, then the masters have got to give their plans a second thought. Ken, it's been great having you on. I hope to have you back on. Maybe we can do something with yourself and ZS in the health vein. I didn't mean that to be a pun. In the health vein. Well, in the health area sometime soon. Thanks for coming on the show. And everybody, once again, direct yourself to Ken's site, educateyourself.org. Go to current news, scroll down, and find of special interest if you're especially interested into MMS.
I just got a question. Educate-yourself.org.
Yes, exactly.
Without the hyphen, it doesn't work because someone else took over that name, educate you. So educate-yourself.org is really important.
I stand corrected, and I have been educated myself on educate-yourself.org. Ken, thanks very much for coming on the show. Look forward to speaking with you again.
Okay, Alan, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. Please offer comments or complaints by emailing conspiracyqueries@gmail.com or on Twitter @con_queries or at our website, conspiracyqueries.com. Thanks for listening.